910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The White House is set to announce what it says will be tough new sanctions against Russia 2 years after the invasion of Ukraine and a week after the death of top Putin critic Alexei Navalny. Former President Trump's legal team filing a last-minute appeal with a Florida judge trying to get the classified documents case against him thrown out. For the first time in half a century, the U.S. is back on the moon.
The mission has not been without some complications. A problem with a laser navigation system necessitated an extra lap around the moon before the intuitive machine's lander touched down. Finally, Mission Director Tim Crane confirmed,
"Our equipment is on the surface of the moon, and we are transmitting."
The first images from the surface should make it back to Earth later today. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Classes at the University of Georgia are canceled today after a nursing student was found dead on campus. She went missing after a morning jog. Her body was found near an athletic field. No one right now is in custody. This is ABC News. More medical facilities in Alabama are now pausing IVF procedures in the wake of the state Supreme Court ruling that frozen embryos are babies.
Two bills are now being introduced in the Alabama State House, one that would protect in vitro fertilization and another that would put the court's ruling on hold.
That's ABC's Perry Russum. Day two of the first trial after the deadly Rust movie set shooting in New Mexico.
During opening statements Thursday, prosecutor Jason Lewis said his witnesses will prove armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed's actions led to Hutchins' death.
You will hear testimony that she routinely left guns and ammunition lying around the set unattended.
Gutierrez Reed's attorney Jason Bowles argued that his client is a scapegoat because she's an easy target.
She's the least powerful person on that set.
He says producers, including Alec Baldwin, bear way more responsibility than Gutierrez Reed.
That's ABC's Jason Nathanson. And a high-priced car heist in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Thieves drove one car through a wall at a Jaguar dealership, then made off with nine more. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
River and Rain is a wellness boutique featuring a wide variety of rocks and crystals, natural bath and body products, and wellness products such as adaptogenic coffee, herbal latte mixes, teas, functional mushroom products, and more. They have an excellent selection of earthy home decor and non-toxic candles and aromatherapy products, with a great selection of meaningful gifts and holistic wellness services such as massage therapy, sound healing meditation, and Reiki. You are sure to find something to help you on your wellness journey. Visit River and Rain in Hayward, Wisconsin today.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The leader of the Forest County Potawatomi is calling on Wisconsin lawmakers and other state leaders to find bipartisan solutions to problems like human trafficking and affordable housing. James Crawford gave Thursday's annual State of the Tribe speech. He also thanked lawmakers for working to increase Medicaid reimbursements for tribes and legislation to boost affordable housing. Wisconsin farmers boosted conservation efforts between 2017 and 2022. That's according to the latest USDA agriculture census.
In so many ways, it is about access to programs within USDA or information, making sure that we can use all of those avenues to drive adoption in the way that we know there is demand for.
Mike Lavender is with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Gary Sanchez joins the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Former Yankee Gary Sanchez has arrived nearly 3 weeks after it was first reported he'd been signed by the Brewers. It turns out he injured his right wrist during off-season workouts, something detected during his physical. Sanchez spoke through an interpreter.
It's a process that was, you know, more or less long, but had a little something in the hand. But here now, and with plenty of time, get to know the players, get to know the coaches, and happy to be here.
Sanchez says he should be ready to play catcher and DH in a couple of weeks. NBA, Bucks against the Timberwolves tonight in Minneapolis. No Chris Middleton, still out with an ankle injury. NFL, the Packers introduced their new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. I asked Matt LaFleur what he wants to see from the defense after dismissing Joe Barry.
I want us to be fast and physical and attack the ball and be able to go out there and generate takeaways.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
A few flurries or snow showers this morning, then gradually becoming mostly sunny, and it will be quite a bit colder today. Our high 27 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, low of 8 above. Tomorrow, sunny 39 by Sunday, sunshine 43. We're talking 50s by Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning, everybody. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. A pleasant TGIF, February 23rd, 2024. I am not Pat Kreitlow, of course. Pat is on a well-deserved little vacation. He is taking some time off. He and Up North News will return next week. So welcome to what we're calling Civic Media This Morning. I'm Tom Abel here in beautiful Hayward, Wisconsin, at our studios at WBZH, the Buzz of the North, 9:10 a.m., joined, as I have been all week, by the fabulous Mr. Greg Bach, who is in our studios down in Waukesha, W-A-U-K. Mr. Bach, how are you this morning?
I'm doing quite well. You know,
really? Just, all right, very good.
I wish I had some of the lighting choices that you have. And, like, Pat always has really nice, soft, warm light. And then I feel like he's like, welcome to the warehouse. This is where you make the magic happen.
Right. It's a little industrial, I would say.
I mean, this, you know, the beautiful artwork. I love this. This is great. Right. If you're on the live stream, there's beautiful artwork behind me. I just wish we had some softer lighting.
I get that. Well, maybe we'll put that in. We'll put a request.
Put a request in. Make me look pretty.
Greg would like a little bit more lighting and makeup, please.
Thank you.
Wouldn't it be great if we had, like, makeup artists?
Oh, that's an interesting topic, Todd Alba.
Really? Why is that?
I mean, we are on the stream here now. It's not just radio. Yeah. It's not just theater of the mind through voice. It's the total package, and this package has been mishandled.
Oh, come on now. You know, it's to each their own, right? And I, you know, yeah. So I think it's, but I have enjoyed, I will say that we've it's not really a desk like I would normally have. It's more like of a little living room setting, I guess.
Yeah.
I'd say. So Catherine Lake is up here, and she stopped by yesterday and gave some great interviews for us in the afternoon, and we'll see. We'll try to fit some of those in a little bit later on today.
Right.
And activities continue up here at the 50th anniversary of the American Birkenbeiner. More activities, more skiing going on, of course. Mm-hmm. And for those who might not be familiar, normally the race would go from Cable, Wisconsin, about 22 miles north of here, down to Hayward. And it would finish about a half a block behind me out the dark window because the sun still hasn't come up quite yet. But because of the warm, unusually warm conditions, of course, no snow. So they're making snow at night, and they have a 10-kilometer loop up in the Cable. And so that's where all the racing is going on. Catherine and I actually went, and thank you, Catherine, for the nice dinner last night. We went back to Angler's Bar and Grill a couple of blocks downtown here, had a lovely dinner. And up on the, they're kind of a sports-ish bar. It's fantastic. And Greg, I think you'll appreciate this,
yeah,
or at least you'll know what's going on. It's a sports bar, but here in truly as in northern Wisconsin form, there are as many, well, there are more taxidermied animals on the wall than there are TV screens. And I loved every minute of it.
That's
and,
funny.
And it has like, it has like, you know, a huge, like a, you know, a 32-pound muskie and painted on the glass. It says, you know, Chuck Smith caught this on, you know, Lake whatever back in 1983. and it's up there. And then they have a couple of, well, they have some deer, lots of deer. An elk was on the wall. There was a cougar up there as well. And then there were a couple of stuffed animals as well. So there was a cougar. There was actually a real stuffed cougar. And it was fantastic.
That's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, it was great. So we had a nice dinner at Anglers. Anyway, they put on the TVs, and there were a couple of sporting events on TV, but I think fully half the TVs were on the trailhead up at Cable. And so you just saw, there was nobody out there, of course, at whatever, 9 o'clock at night, but you could see where the snow was, and they just kept showing it. And yeah. I told Catherine, I said, after a couple of beverages, I said, wouldn't it be great if I just went up there and we just went streaking on, you know, just across the television screen? But then I thought, well, there's snow up there, of course, and so there may be shrinkage. So I said, you know, I'm not gonna do that. I stayed away. So
vanity was your big deterrent, not so much the law.
Well, exactly right. Exactly right about that. Well, let me tell you, there might be other kind of, you know, shrinkage all across Wisconsin. Because guess what? Spring is over, at least for a couple of days, Greg Bach, as we look at the weather forecast, or the weather temperatures around the state of Wisconsin right now. Here in beautiful Hayward, we're sitting at 23, I believe, right now. So, oh, pardon me, it's up to 28 already. Looking for a high today of 33 degrees. So that's good news for the organizers of Birkenbeiner, because that will help in keeping the snow that they're making at night. And then we're going to have a little bit of a cool down here over the weekend as well. Not just up here in Hayward, but across the state of Wisconsin. Right now up in Superior, it is 24 degrees. Over in Green Bay, around 31. 29 in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio. 28 over in Amory at Lake Air Radio. Down at Chippewa Falls, WCFW, 30 degrees over in La Crosse right now this morning. As the Eagle over there in La Crosse, 28 degrees as well. 25 in the old hometown, WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, around 31 in Madison, 30 degrees in beautiful Waukesha, where Greg is at, and already nearing 36 degrees down in Racine and Kenosha this morning, down at WRJN. Temperatures holding right around or just above freezing, as we said. Most all roads are in good winter driving condition as we check the DOT 511wi.gov driving site right now. The only road in the state of Wisconsin that's reporting any sort of driving condition concerns is good old Highway 13 that goes from all the way. You can't get more north in Wisconsin than Highway 13. It goes from Washburn, kind of all the roads that are slick, go from Washburn up to Bayfield, and then around the Red Cliff Indian Reservation, and over to kind of Port Wing over there as well. It's a beautiful part of the state. Years ago, I spent some time at the Red Cliff Indian Reservation there. They have a really cool, well-done casino, and also there's a great campground you can tent at as well. And I think they also take a few RVs as well. So it's actually north of Ashland. It's right across on the mainland from the Apostle Islands. And if you ever have an opportunity, ever want to take a beautiful drive and then just spend some time where you sit and you say, yeah, this is a place where I can clear my head, get up to beautiful Bayfield, Wisconsin, and then head on up to the Red Cliff Indian Reservation and check out the scenic beauty and the Apostle Islands as well. So Highway 13 all the way up there, experiencing a little probably freezing fog this morning on some of the roadways up there, but the entire rest of the state of Wisconsin below Bayfield is reporting good winter driving conditions this morning. No sporting events to report this morning, although we'll talk a little bit later in the show because I know Greg Bach is a huge fan. Milwaukee Brewers baseball gets underway. Our sports reporter, Mike Clemens, talking about it a little bit on the sports reports as well. Excitement is in the air, right? I mean, new skipper after Craig Counsell goes to the Chicago Cubs, and you know, a couple of new players as well. As Greg talked yesterday, Christian Yelich now kind of one of the senior guys on the team. So we will be we'll be discussing that a little bit. It's great to have that kind of the vibe in the air of spring this time of year as we're getting closer to March here, the 23rd of February, 2023. Of course, leap year, right, Greg? So we actually have 29 days this year. And did you ever do anything special for leap year?
No. Can't say that I have. I mean, yeah. Have you? Is there like, I mean, for people who have birthdays that day, they're like, I'm nine years old. I'm like, yeah, you're old.
No, I can't, you know, I mean, it only comes around every 4 years or so. It just, it throws off the calendar a little bit by 2 days, but no, I don't have any big leap year plans this year. Although maybe I should.
You should.
We should do a once every 4 years broadcast and say we're going to do this once every 4 years. So come on along.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Leap onto the radio February 29th. See you in 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot to ask yesterday because there was a big AT&T cellular outage yesterday. I heard you and Jane talking about it on Matt Nair on air from 10 until noon. And Jane was telling a great story about her husband calling the studio and because their phones were out because they have AT&T. I figured, you do not have AT&T. You have that Google Pixel Plus thing or whatever the hell it's called.
That Google Pixel Plus phone doohickey thingamajob.
Right.
No, so I'm an owner of a Google Pixel 8 Pro. That's pretty fancy. But I have my cell service comes from Google Fi, which
is
$20 a month. Once again, folks, I'm not paid by them. I'm not doing an ad for them. I'm simply stating the facts.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I wish. You think I'd be here if I was being paid by Google?
Not at 6 in the morning.
No, no. It's $20 a month, and then you pay. Basically, if you use data, you pay for the data that you use. And my phone bill has never hit $28 in 5 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I was paying over $100 a month for one phone line.
Yeah,
with another phone company which rhymes with a Schmay TNT.
Well, they did not have a good day yesterday. But
no.
Friends of mine have the Google Fi. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah,
and it works like a charm. I just have not. I'm an Apple guy, so I haven't. I don't.
You can go to Google Fi with an Apple.
Can you really?
Yes, you can.
Oh my gosh, this could change my world.
Here's
a little update for those that do have AT&T. Here's an update for you. They claim this morning that they have resolved their massive service outage that left tens of thousands of people across the United States unable to place calls yesterday, text, or access the internet for nearly 12 hours. Customers also had trouble receiving emergency services, and at least one police department reported that its 911 line was briefly flooded with people dialing to see if their calls would go through from their cell phone.
Oh,
now, come
goodness.
On. Now, come on. I mean, honest to goodness. I mean, you're just, let's see if this works.
Yeah.
Really? Really?
911, are you open?
Right, yeah. Are you open? At one point, the outage affected more than 70,000 customers, as many raised questions over whether malicious activity could have caused the issue. AT&T said in a statement last night, that the outage was caused by, quote, the application and execution of an incorrect process used as we were expanding our network, not a cyber attack, unquote. What do you think about that?
I think some guy pressed a wrong button, honestly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Floyd was having a cheese sandwich on his lunch and dropped something somewhere and shorted it out. We'll come back. We will not be short. We're going to talk a little bit about Tony Evers asking that Wisconsin's congressional maps.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life. And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to Civic Media This Morning. I'm Tom Hubble in for Pat Kreitlow and Up North News. It will return on Monday after Pat Kreitlow gets done resting, tanning himself, and enjoying a beverage or two. Now, is it true, is Pat a natural tanner, or does he kind of go into the spray tan? Do you know?
I think we had this conversation before the holidays. No, Pat and I did. What he does really? Do, which a lot of us pastier Midwesterners do, is you go to the tanning booth just to give yourself a base so that way you burn.
Really?
I think so.
I didn't know this.
I think. If I'm wrong, Pat, I'm sorry.
This is fascinating to me. That's the scene news you can
but
use
that's,
at 6:21 in the
but
morning.
That's really smart, though, because I know people who, like my friend went on a cruise and she said I didn't get to go tanning at all because she is amazingly pale. Like,
oh really?
Prodigiously, just so much white skin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a serious thing, right? You want to make sure that you put on some sunscreen or something, because you don't want to just have that skin out there bare, let yourself bake, and have all kinds of problems if you do that. But anyway, Pat said on a well-deserved rest here. He'll be back on Monday with Greg as well. We are at 27 degrees right now in Hayward, Wisconsin, where we are at, truly up north. This morning, filling in for Pat Kreitlow. And temperature is going to be a bit cooler today, more towards the normal side here in Hayward, looking for a high of 33 degrees, which will be welcome as they are making snow here for the 50th annual Birkenbeiner ski race in northern Wisconsin. Most of the action happening up in Cable, Wisconsin. Elsewhere around the state today, high is reaching into the 40s, which will be much different than some places yesterday, hitting the 60 degree mark. 22 now past the hour of 6 o'clock. Turning to Wisconsin news this morning from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And this is fascinating. Wisconsin Democratic Governor Tony Evers asking the state Supreme Court to take up a motion to reconsider Wisconsin's congressional maps after the state's legislative boundaries were changed to weaken Republicans' grip on the state legislature. Tony Evers asked the court to reconsider the congressional lines the same day that he signed into law new maps that give Democrats a chance at competing for control of both chambers and the state legislature for the first time in more than a decade. The high-powered Democratic law firm of Elias Law Group filed a motion with the Wisconsin Supreme Court last month asking the court to reconsider the congressional lines ahead of the 2024 election. Now, the group argued new lines were warranted after the high court, when considering the legislative map challenge late last year, said it would no longer favor maps that minimize changes to existing boundary lines, a theory known as least change approach. So let me stop right there for a second, because this is a bit convoluted, not the writing, but just the situation. So, because Republicans are trying to make a lot of hay on the socials, as they say, over the last 24 hours. So the current congressional lines of Wisconsin, the district boundaries, are in fact lines that were drawn or submitted by Tony Evers and his staff, Governor Evers. But he did so at the duress, the behest, whatever you want to call it, of the former more conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court, because they ordered that the maps that were submitted at the time to be under this least change approach. So in order to get the former conservative court to okay the changes, Governor Evers had to change what were even worse gerrymandered maps, had to change them the least amount that he possibly could. So it was kind of like, yeah, go ahead and change it, but if you go too far, we're going to just say no. So he had to try to basically guess how much the former conservative Supreme Court would pass and then submit that. So that's kind of the situation that we're in right now. Ongoing now with the story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Quote, given that the maps the governor submitted in Johnson, that's the case, were grounded in that least change approach, the governor urged the court to review his decision and stand ready to participate in any further proceedings the court may order, unquote. That from Wisconsin Assistant Attorney General Anthony Rossomano, who wrote a letter to the state Supreme Court clerk on Monday. Here's a key line in this story. Evers' request is the latest development in the congressional map inquiry as Democrats face a tight deadline to put new maps in place with under 9 months until the November election. The court has not publicly indicated it will review the motion, and the Wisconsin Election Commission has said that any new maps must be in place by March 15th in order to affect this year's election. So let me stop again there. So basically, the governor has to, asking the court to reconsider this, the court has to do so on or before March 15th. That's the deadline the Wisconsin Election Commission, which oversees elections in Wisconsin, that's the deadline that they have set. And you say, well, Todd, the election isn't until November. What the heck is going on? It's because that the Wisconsin Election Commission has to get nomination papers ready to go. And those papers have to be based on the current, whatever the lines are on March 15th, because you have to create the nomination papers. They have to be, of course, you know, fact checked, looked for any mistakes, that sort of thing. They have to go to the printer because that's one thing that you cannot do online yet. Some people call them petitions, but nomination papers that every candidate has to circulate. And I'm sure many of you listening have signed one before, depending upon whether it is a city council position or Congress, what have you. It varies the how many signatures you have to get. And then, of course, those have to be turned in. They have to be verified. There's a time for challenges. And then you have to say, okay, here are now the ballots. All this takes time. So if you backtrack that, the deadline to have this finalized in terms of congressional boundary lines is March 15th. So there are just two competitive congressional districts in Wisconsin under the current maps. Republicans hold 6 of the state's 8 House seats, and Democrats safely control the deep blue 2nd and 4th districts anchored by Madison and Milwaukee, respectively. The Western 3rd District and Southern 1st District are Wisconsin's only competitive seats. Evers' maps maintained a slight Republican edge in the 3rd District, which flipped red later that year, and made the 1st District more competitive for Democrats, moving it from about 9 points Republican down to about 2 points Republican. Republican Representative Brian Stile easily won re-election in the 1st District in 2022. Republicans at both the state and federal level, meanwhile, have pushed back on the effort to challenge the congressional maps. Late last month, Wisconsin's Republican member of Congress and GOP state lawmakers asked liberal Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz to step away from deciding whether to reconsider the state's congressional maps. They argued that Protasiewicz prejudiced the case when she made statements during her campaign last year when she called the current maps rigged. And of course, that has since been debunked, and she said she's not going to do that, which I happen to agree with. I mean, it's ridiculous to say that you can't look at a case when you have all of those other things going on. So we will come back to your calls. If you want to give us a ringling about this, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. It is 29 past the hour of 6 o'clock. You're listening to Civic Media This Morning. Need to hold you once again, my love. Feel your warm embrace, my love. Don't
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The 24 major dairy-producing states saw a milk decrease of about 1% in January, and that follows a global trend. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Katie Burgess, broker analyst with EverAg, says that if you take a look at dairy production around the world, you'll find more countries than not stepping back on milk production.
We actually just got new data overnight here from New Zealand. Their milk production is down a little bit as well. And the one we're watching really carefully is the European Union. In Europe, they have really strong environmental restrictions coming into play, really restricting some dairy producers' livelihood. The producers are starting to push back on those a little bit, and seems like there might be a little relief. That's, again, a story that continues to play out. But for instance, in a place like Ireland, we saw milk production down almost 30% in December.
Katie Burgess, she's a broker analyst with EverAg. She says, while global milk production may be slipping, she said consumption remains firm and robust in some areas of the world. And she also reminds Wisconsin dairy producers, remember, the United States is really the only place in the world where milk production is allowed to grow.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau's grassroots policy really truly is a bottom-up process. This is truly started at the bottom by the members, for the members. It really does work its way up the chain because this is the core foundation of Farm Bureau. We truly are all-encompassing, and that's why I really believe in the Farm Bureau mission.
WFBF.com.
We are the voice of agriculture.
A voice for farmers. A vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese gained a quarter of a cent to 161. 40-pound block cheese dropped a penny and a half, down to $1.50. The AA butter was 3¾ cents higher on Thursday to 281 and a quarter per pound. This morning, December corn is up 2½ at 456. We've got November soybeans up 8½ at 1143. July wheat up 6 right now at 586. Class 3 fluid milk for March is up 13 cents at 1726. And April's up 16 cents right now, 1782 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Friday trade session. More news available anytime, day or night, MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A few flurries or snow showers this morning, then gradually becoming mostly sunny, and it will be quite a bit colder today. Our high 27 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, low of 8 above. Tomorrow, sunny 39 by Sunday, sunshine 43. We're talking 50s by Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to Civic Media this morning. Tom Alball here in our Hayward studios, truly up north, in for Pat Kreitlow and Up North News. We'll return next week after a little time off. Greg Bach also with us this morning from our studios at WAUK, the Shaw, down in beautiful Waukesha. We are almost on opposite ends of the state, Greg Bach.
That is very true, but we're looking at the same moon.
Observation, right?
We're looking at the same moon, Todd. Because we are one people.
It's a beautiful moon. It's gonna be a full moon is tonight, actually.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
And you get up here to Hayward, where there's a lot less light pollution, and it was spectacular last night walking in Hayward. And I think that's one of the takeaways. And again, Catherine Lake, our program director, was up here the last couple of days joining me and getting some person on the street interviews. And that was one of the things that really struck both of us, was with almost no snow up here, except for what they're making and putting on the trail, you would not blame people for being a little salty and a little down and like, man, this sucks. You don't hear any of that up here. I mean, they're cheery. They had a thing half a block away from our station last night. It was kind of a race without snow, a foot race, basically. but people were donned in Viking costumes and all kinds of different costumes out there and enjoying themselves. And it was just a great small town festival.
Yeah.
And the restaurants are full, people from all over the world. And it makes you realize that's what these kind of things are about. It's not always about the event, but it's the gathering of humanity around a common thing that we all enjoy.
That's fantastic. I know. I mean, I've stated this before, that since starting to work here, I have gotten a new value and love for this state. Like, I mean, I spent my life in southeastern Wisconsin. I was born and raised in Waukesha, lived in Milwaukee, Kenosha, and Racine. Yep. So, you know, I don't really have like a city to like call my own, but the state is my state. And talking to people, especially when I get to do shows like with Pat and with you up way up north, it makes me want to get in a car and just drive up and see them and just spend time in the state I was born in. Looking at, like, you know, going to Hayward, going to Bayfield, you know, and exploring these areas that I've never seen before, but have been just a few hours away.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And it's a privilege and an honor to be able to travel around and tell people's stories. And again, I think it's a great, and Catherine and I were actually talking about this last night, that so often I feel like it's an obligation, right, to bring people big stories, whether it's politics or otherwise. But so much of what we talk about, because that's just what's making news, it seems like to me oftentimes I come away listening to my own program and myself sometimes, and I think, man, that was kind of a downer. Like it's just, it's you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's quote-unquote bad news. And I think it's also incumbent upon us, I'm going to try to, a goal moving forward here in 2024, is also make sure that I'm trying to also seek out those positive stories about things that are going well, you know, because there are a lot of things that are going well, as it turns out.
Yes, and that's another thing that I really enjoy about civic media, is that we're talking about the news, we're doing it in a constructive manner. We have our opinions, we have our biases, we don't mask them, we don't like try to say, well, I you know, I'm for everybody, because I'm not. And but
that's fantastic, go ahead.
But also, we want to talk about those community leaders. We want to bring in those people who, like, I don't know, like, have the biggest bird collection. You know, it's celebrating. And it's not just like the news where it's like, here's 19 minutes of horror, and then here's a dog on a surfboard.
Right. No, you know, that's a great point. Because one of the interviews that Catherine did yesterday was someone who was a physically challenged person, and they would normally be in a wheelchair. They have a special outfitting where they could be on skis and use their arms to propel themselves, and talking about doing this entire Birkenbeiner course, like 30 kilometers, with their arms. And
oh, my God.
I'm serious. And like, it's like, what the heck is wrong with Todd? I mean, I got to go walk 3 miles.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's the human spirit, right?
Yeah.
That it's like you see people who they were dealt with, some people would say, an unfair hand, and then they're like, no, I can still live life. I'm not going to let that get me down.
Yeah.
And it just is a great reminder of the human spirit.
I agree. I completely agree. And that's, as I just stated, that's one of the things I love about this network is that we enjoy bringing those types of stories to people. So, yeah.
It's fantastic. I know normally you and Pat would have someone on and talking about national politics. So we're going to do a little bit of that this morning. Speaking of the presidential race and national politics.
Yeah.
Big primary this weekend, Greg. Tomorrow, the South Carolina voters will head to the polls for the state's Republican primary election. Former President Donald Trump holds a wide lead among likely GOP voters, but his sole challenger, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, said she would absolutely, quote-unquote, remain in the race through Saturday's contest in her home state. This was interesting because she held a press conference a couple nights ago, and of course the Trump people, others, put rumors out there that, oh, show up because Nikki's going to drop out.
Yeah.
Well, she showed up and got to the podium. And, you know, look, I wouldn't vote for Nikki Haley necessarily, but I give her props for not being intimidated by Trump to stay in there. And just because this is driving him nuts. And of course, Trygve Olson, former Republican like myself, who joins our show on Wednesdays at noon, he knows still some of these high level ranking Republican people. And he has it on good authority that Nikki Haley is personally driving Trump nuts. But it is really a problem for their campaign for two reasons. One, they're having to spend a lot more money than they thought it would in the primary, getting the nomination to take Nikki Haley down politically. But also, it's just Trump's physically drained. He is not enjoying having to do this many appearances in a primary already.
Well, and between that and also having to, you know, go to court a lot. I mean, that doesn't
help. Yeah. But you know, that's the easy part, right? He just gets to sit there in court. When he's campaigning, he actually has to stand up and give speeches and walk around, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure just sitting in court's probably tiring for him.
Well, yeah, mentally, yeah. Sure. But also, Nikki Haley is laying on some facts out there, and the Republicans are very upset and concerned that Joe Biden and the Democrats are going to use these cuts, which of course they will, these audio clips, video clips, where Nikki Haley has just taken it to Trump and the Republicans and MAGA Republicans especially, and this is going to be used against Trump, as it should be, in the general election. So Nikki Haley, while again I wouldn't vote for her, I think she is doing some good out there by laying down some facts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
You have feelings. You have feelings, Greg Bach.
Oh, I always have feelings. I think I'm happy that Nikki Haley is doing what she's doing on the campaign trail on that Republican side, but I refuse to allow her, and I think the media, whether it's the news, I mean, she was even on SNL a couple weeks ago, I refuse to allow her to be painted as some sort of centrist, cool Republican, the better choice, the cooler, younger choice. She is a far-right Republican in favor of a national abortion ban. She has values that do not fit with mine at all. And while I do not want Donald Trump to be president, and I think it would be a major blow to our democracy, I think Nikki Haley is not much better of a choice either. So,
yeah, I agree with most of what you said. I mean, certainly she is in her policy beliefs, what she stands for in policy. I agree that she's more conservative, more to the right than she wants to let on and what she's trying to portray. Do I think that she would end democracy if she got in the White House? No.
No.
I don't think that she's that nuts. She's not Trump MAGA nuts.
No.
She is certainly a far-right policy type of person. And so, I've said this before, and I'm not trying to help out the Republicans, believe me, but I think that if the Republicans actually nominated Nikki Haley, I think she would give Joe Biden a much tougher run for his money on the way to re-election.
I absolutely agree with you. I 100% agree with you. Yes, I think Joe Biden would have a very difficult time against her.
And so in a weird way, right? I mean, Biden and the Democratic leadership probably going, come on, let's get Trump. Yeah. I mean, as weird as that sounds.
No, I get that. They know how to run against Trump.
Beat him once.
Running against Nikki Haley, she's smart. She's opinionated. She is. Right. Got her ducks in a row. I mean, she doesn't know why the Civil War was fought, but right. That besides the
but,
point.
But it's I think it's the male versus female, the younger person versus the older person. I mean, the energy, that she can exude on stage. I think it's just a tougher general election against Nikki Haley than it is Trump. But we shall see. Performing well in primaries and in caucuses equals delegates, of course. And the larger goal is amassing the magic number. Which, this is kind of goofy. The magic number on the Republican side, 1,215 delegates to win the party's nomination. As of right now, Donald Trump only has 63 delegates to Haley's 17, with 50 at stake in South Carolina this weekend. On the Democratic side, South Carolina already delivered President Joe Biden his first official primary victory in the 2024 campaign on February 3rd. So kind of goofy that they have one of the primaries for the Democratic Party in 1 week, and then a couple weeks later they have the Republican one. And again, you kind of look at our election system in the United States, imperfect as it is, I still believe that democracy is the best choice out there. But I do think we could make elections more understandable for the general public. I mean, think about that. If you're like, well, wait a minute, I thought the primary was on the 3rd. Well, that was just for Democrats. Wait a minute, we got a separate one for Republicans? Well, yes. And then you go out to Nevada a couple weeks ago, and they have caucuses and primaries. And it gets very confusing because in the primary process, the parties control, the political parties control the primaries. So they get to decide whether their delegates, as I just alluded to, if those delegates for a particular state are going to be awarded in the primary election or in the caucus system. If they go by the primary election, that is a quote-unquote election, so it's governed by state election laws. If the party says, no, we're going to choose our delegates through the caucus system, the caucuses are overseen by the parties themselves. So in Nevada a couple weeks ago, you had a Republican primary, which Nikki Haley was expected to win, and it turns out that none of the above actually beat Nikki Haley. That's true. And then a couple, 3 days later, on a Thursday, you had the caucuses, which were run by the Nevada Republican Party, which were run by the people who also helped Trump in the insurrection and told people before the caucuses started, Trump's going to win. Oddly enough, he did. So, I mean, I just think that, I don't know, there has to be a better way so people don't get confused, right, Greg Bach?
Well, first of all, I don't think a state should be allowed to have caucuses and primaries. Right. And I'm sorry, Iowa. I'm sorry, parts of Nevada. I just think caucuses are antiquated. I think they're just, they're more about the people, like, and I don't mean like the people, we the people voting. I mean, it's about like, I don't know, power trips and things. I don't know. I just don't like caucuses. Just give me a ballot. Let me fill it out. And I'm going to give me a sticker. I'm going to thank the little old lady. And I'm going to go home. I don't want to sit at a gym for 15 hours.
I know. I get it. I went to one. I've told this story before. I went to one in Iowa years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
And I think it was for 96 for Bob Dole or something like that. And
Bob Dole.
Yes, exactly. Bob Dole. It was a weird, yeah, you're right. It was people get up in small rooms in groups of 20 or 50, whatever, and you basically campaign for your person.
Yeah.
And then you take on a piece of paper and put it into a hat, basically. And here's the person that won.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this person didn't win, so take all these votes over to that part of the gymnasium and start talking again.
Exactly. We'll keep track of it here on Civic Media. The South Carolina primary, Republican primary, is tomorrow on a Saturday, which I do agree with that. I do think that voting should be on a weekend so more people, participate. And also, like, well, let's just do it, like, over the course of a weekend, like a Saturday and Sunday or something like that. I don't know.
Chad Holmes and I were talking about that. I said it should be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or voting day is a national holiday.
Yes, I totally agree. Yes, national holiday. I mean, I'm all in for that. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about what today in history is all about. It is the 23rd of February, 2023. We are live from Hayward, Wisconsin. Greg Bach.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When Cynthia came to TurboTax, she had just launched her new side gig, a true crime podcast.
I'm a first-rate detective with a golden voice.
As her TurboTax expert, I made her second income count by guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and her maximum refund.
What did she do with that refund? Find out next week.
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to Civic Media this morning on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Greg Bach and Waukesha. I'm Todd Alba here on location in beautiful Hayward, Wisconsin, where the 50th annual Birkebeiner ski race is happening. By the way, can you say that sentence, Greg Bach? Say the 50th annual Birkebeiner ski race.
The 50th annual Birkebeiner ski race.
Yep, see, you're normal. I'm not.
I did it. I.
Catherine Lake, our program director, God love her. She's up here helping out, and we appreciate it so very much. And she said that the other day we got off the air, and she said, say annual for me. I said annual. Because there's a U or a W, annual, you know.
Yeah.
I'm from Southwest Wisconsin, Richland Center, and we say annual.
Okay, I got a question for you. S-H-A-W-A-N-O. How do you pronounce it?
Shawano?
I say Shawano.
Do you know that my dad and stepmom live there?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but they live in Shawano because sorry, I'm a child of phonics.
No, it's pronounced Shawano.
That's cool. I know that. I hope your parents are really having a good time in Shawano.
I'm sure they are. It's a beautiful little town right there in Shawano Lake. It's fantastic.
I've been to Shawano Lake.
All right, we're going to do a show from Shawano and show Greg Bach how it's done.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Well, by the way, today is the 23rd of February, 2023. It is Friday, TGIF. Did you know that on this date, speaking of skating and Winter Olympics, by the way, yesterday we celebrated, it was 44 years since the Lake Placid Olympics in 1980 and the miracle on ice when the United States, the amateur uprising kids, one of which was Mark Johnson, from Wisconsin, a great Badger who won a national title with Wisconsin and then was on the gold medal Olympic team and now is the head coach of the women's Badger hockey team, has won 7 national championships. Well, Greg Bach, did you know there was another famous Wisconsinite making history back in 1980? Today, on the 23rd, speed skater Eric Heiden wins the 10,000-meter race at the Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, setting a world record with his time and winning an unprecedented 5th gold medal at the Games. Heiden had been training as a speed skater since the age of 14. At the 1976 Winter Olympics in Austria, Heiden, then only 17, came in 7th in the 1,500-meter race. Of course, he is from Wisconsin. So Eric Heiden, big news back in this date, back in 1980, winning his historic and unprecedented 5th gold medal in speed skating. Remember Eric Heiden at all?
I do remember the name. But Todd, would you say that him winning was a miracle?
Just 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
Exactly. Unbelievable.
Look at that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well done. Well done, Mr. Bach. That's fantastic. Also, on this date, an important date in American democracy and history, and 1945, the U.S. flag was raised on Iwo Jima. And, of course, that iconic statue, if you go out to Washington, D.C., of the servicemen raising the flag at Iwo Jima in 1945. Have you ever been out there? Ever been to D.C., Greg?
Oh, yeah, many times. I love D.C. I got family out there. It's very beautiful. Oh, yeah. I love D.C.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm going to butcher the, I'm going to paraphrase it now, but Chris Matthews.
You said it great. Perfect. Chris Matthews. Got it. First try.
Who used to have the Hardball show on MSNBC. He wrote some great books. One of them was called Hardball. And he in one of his books, he talks about at the end of the book, he says something along the lines of the great monuments, you know, in D.C. aren't so much to pay tribute to the past, but to goad those politicians in the present, because they're not, they can never be quite as great as some of those people in the past.
Yeah.
Which, you know, look at the statue of Iwo Jima. I mean, holy cow. Aside from politicians, these men at the time, mostly at least on the front lines, who, you know, risked everything in 1945 and helped maintain democracy around the world. It gives me goosebumps whenever I visit Iwo Jima, whenever I'm at Arlington. The history there and the sacrifice, it's I don't want to call it a cool place, but it's a place that's impactful to me whenever I visit.
It's got a solemn value. It makes you think. I mean, I've stood at the Lincoln Memorial and just looked at it and started to tear up. I mean, it's a beautiful place to be. Quick side note on what you're talking about here with the raising of the flag of Iwo Jima. One of the things that I find very interesting about that is one of the gentlemen who did that, his name was Ira Hayes. He was an indigenous person, and Johnny Cash wrote a song about him coming home and facing the hardships of being an indigenous person in a country that he had just fought for, called The Ballad of Ira Hayes. I feel like everyone should check that out. It's a great song about an amazing person. So, and he is one of those gentlemen in that statue.
It is a great song and a great person. I really appreciate you bringing that up because, yeah, and something that kind of gets lost, I think, in all of Johnny Cash's, you know, the other mystique of Johnny Cash, and a great artist and a great person in his own right. But he spent a lot of his time, particularly later in his life, talking about indigenous people and trying to advocate for that.
Yes.
And the really, really important part. So I appreciate you bringing that up as well. Also on this date in, let's see here, on the 23rd of February, 1861, Abraham Lincoln arrived in Washington, D.C. And of course, we all know the impact that he made on the country. And also, and I don't have the exact year in front of me now because my computer's freezing up, but it was also on this date that Pinocchio debuted in the Walt Disney World realm of movies, one of the coolest movies, in my opinion, in terms of animation and storytelling. Yeah, Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket, and I remember as a kid, I used to love watching movies. I had a book, a Disney book with all the illustrations as well.
That one came out in 1940, and I think it was
the second
Disney movie to come out after Snow White, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, yeah. Disney. Fact, people and historians don't get it mad at me.
My sister and brother-in-law are huge Disney people.
Oh, they go down every year?
Well, not quite every year, but my brother-in-law had spent spent a while living in Florida, and he had worked at Disney for a summer. So after he and my sister got married, before they had started having children, they're teachers, and so during the summer, they went down and worked at Disney, and at the time, they worked at Tomorrowland, the Buzz Lightyear ride.
Oh, that was
their main ride. So yeah, they have an attachment and everything to Disney, so they go down and take my nieces down there and stuff, but hey, you know, it's a corporation, but I think there's also a lot of positive.
Nice,
but because I know after I say this, it's a big corporation.
Everything's a corporation.
Right? Can we just enjoy something in life?
Yeah.
And I mean, come on. Pinocchio is a great story. And you know, there's some Disney things that make you feel good.
Yeah.
Can we just enjoy something around
Look at us getting angry at nobody right now. No one's got...
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Buzz of the North, WBZH, and the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Fallout from the landmark decision in Alabama, where the state Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos are